Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Rays have a winless road trip, and they're swept in Atlanta and Baltimore, losing five in a row to fall to 4-6. We're 1/6 of the way through the season. Is the AL East hopes over? Can they still even reach the playoffs? What's wrong with the Rays? The Bucs full squad is in training camp, minus a few running backs out with COVID-19. We've got storylines for 2020, and yes, they begin with Tom Brady. And the Lightning begin their round robin today at 4 against the Washington Capitals. What have we learned about the hockey playoffs so far? We've got all that and more to talk about on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Steve, let's start with the Rays, because I got to be honest with you. You know, I am not Nostradamus, as you were fond of telling me before the podcast. I predicted that the Rays would not only make the playoffs, but no, they're going to win the World Series in this truncated 60-game season. Let me just tell you, folks, you should root like hell for the Bucks, because they're your best chance right now of getting to the postseason and winning maybe a championship. I won't write the Lightning off just yet.
Wait, are you riding the Rays obit tonight?
I am. I'm cashing it in, no pun intended, but hey. And I said this before Brian Anderson did, and I got witnesses. But I was watching the ball game, and at one point they showed Kevin Cash, and he got the sunglasses on, and I said, it's a good thing he's wearing a mask right now, or his disgust would be so palatable on his face. And then Brian Anderson said it within seconds after I did, I swear to you. But it's true. I mean, because he couldn't mask his disappointment through this series, especially against Baltimore. I mean, come on. I mean, maybe the Orioles are turning around, and this is their, you know, the beginning of a nice long arc to being a winning franchise or ball club again. But they're just not very good, in my opinion. And they just completely handled the Rays, who did everything to hurt themselves. I mean, let's face it. This team is built on pitching and defense. They really haven't done much of either, certainly on the defensive side. And here we go again. What is it with Willy Adames? I thought, you know, we went through this early in the season last year, and it was mostly or predominantly his throwing that was causing a lot of errors. Mm-hmm. He's already got 4 errors on the young season, and the Rays, I think, have 10 as a ball club.
Yeah, this is not the Rays team we expected. Pitching and defense, and the bullpen has been leaky in spots.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense has been really leaky. And then the base running is still exactly what it's been for years now. I mean,
unreal.
You know, I it was funny because I was thinking the other day, what this team really needs is Tommy Pham.
Yes, I said the same thing.
Except he was the worst base runner.
He was arguably worse than Kiermaier, which is really saying something.
And I said that before the Kiermaier gaffes this weekend, going, you know, this team could use a Tommy Pham. And more about His energy.
Yeah. And his intensity, yeah.
Yeah, the intensity. It just feels like that this team could use someone like that right now.
Of course, they need life.
But then I said, but I don't want his base running. And then Kiermaier went this weekend and showed, you know, that he was taking over that role.
I'm telling you, and you can go out throughout his career. I mean, I know he's gotten hurt several times running the bases. And you can say, well, he's an aggressive player, right? Every day I'm hustling. Okay, hustling is fine. We've seen him get hurt sliding feet first into first, seen him get hurt sliding head first into second. I mean, that's part of his deal. But by the same token, where are the instincts, man? I mean, this one game, they put him into pitch run a couple nights ago in Baltimore, and, you know, they have a chance to win that game after battling back. And he runs, he's stealing, he's got the steal sign, and the ball's fouled off, so he goes back to first. And then a pitch or two later, he steals again. Only this time the throw is through all the way to second base, and he never slides. And he's tagged out on the ankles, which is reprehensible, because if he slides, he's probably safe. It's definitely a close play, but I think he gets in there easily because, as you know, slowing down to stand up into a bag is not the best, quickest way to the base. And so they, you know, even worse than what he did was his explanation, which was, I thought he fouled it off. That's just bad on my part. Thought he fouled it off. What? What does that mean? Thought he fouled it off. Did you take a look back when you were stealing? No. Did you think you heard something? Okay. What is the harm, Kevin Kiermaier, of going in there and sliding and say it was a foul ball? What did you risk? I guess you could say, I didn't want to get hurt sliding, but that's ridiculous. You're a baseball player. You got your pants dirty? I mean, it made no sense because in the major leagues or any level of baseball above, say, Bush League, right, if a ball's fouled off on halfway to first and second, which is about where you're going to be, on a good day, three quarters of the way, any second baseman or shortstop not wanting you to barrel into them is going to tell you to stand up, right, if the umpire doesn't. But they're going to tell you, stand up, stand up, stand up. Because they want the same kind of etiquette for them. And unless they've changed this etiquette, which I'm unaware of, no one's deking you on a throw to second base if the ball's fouled back. They're just not, okay? It made no sense at all. Like, what are you even thinking? You can't be kind of sure that I thought it was fouled off. And so he's thrown out there. And then, of course, the next night, he's in the ball game. And he's at second base in scoring position. And a guy, I forget who the hitter was, absolutely laces one to the right side of the infield, to the second baseman's left, which takes him away from second. So back in the day, you know, we were always told when I was playing, back in my day, we were told freeze on a line drive. That was the big thing, right? It was drilled into your head from the time you were in Little League, right? Freeze on a line drive. Well, it's actually become take a step back towards the bag on a line drive because there is no advantage in even freezing or taking a step off. Because basically, if the ball goes through there and it's hit that hard, you're only advancing 90 feet. Very rarely are you going to score unless it's somehow ticked off the glove and maybe it dribbles between the outfielder and the infielder. And at that point, the third base coach will tell you what to do. But you're primarily just going to freeze because you don't want to get doubled off. This guy gets a secondary lead. Then when the ball is hit, takes two or three steps towards third. And, I mean, I swear the second baseman was as startled as anybody after he turned around and turned all the way around and realized that Kiermaier's off the bag and throws and doubles him off second. It's, stuff like that can't happen, but it continues to happen with him.
It happens with this team a lot.
It does. They run themselves out of more innings than any team I've
ever seen. As this team does from pitching to defense to two out hitting, which is what they've done pretty well this year, although it mm-hmm. dried up in Baltimore as it did a lot of things. But
right.
Base running is something this organization has not done very well for a couple of years now. And it's,
right.
you know, it started, Malik Smith was one who was really egregious at it. Tommy Pham was pretty bad.
Yep.
But they just continue to lack instincts on the base pass.
Exactly. That's the key, instincts. That's the word right there. Baseball instincts, right? Just not playing. I mean, there is a big difference between aggressive and stupid. I mean, I'm just telling you there is. And you can't win with stupid. And maybe that seems harsh to say that about a guy like Kevin Kiermaier, who's such a good player. And he didn't have the best weekend in the outfield either, by the way, which we can get to in a minute. But you have to be smart in situations. You have to understand what you represent as a base runner in those situations and that you want to do everything you can to stay in scoring position or to not, you know, to not help get yourself out. And that's what they've been doing. They've been making outs on the bases, and Lord knows they're not doing enough at the plate. What I mean, who's hitting at this point, Steve? I think you got, Adames, maybe a Joey Wendell doesn't have that many at-bats, Martinez. There's just not that many guys that are hitting at all.
We went through the stats, and I'm trying to pull it back up here beforehand. I believe there was only six hitters on the whole team hitting above 200.
Above 200? Yeah.
Yeah. 200. So Adames and Brasso both hitting 333.
Right.
Wendell's at 292.
Mm-hmm.
Lau is at 286.
Right.
Jose Martinez is at 259. So that's actually five. Everybody else is 200 or below. So five hitters
players.
Hitting above 200.
Above 200. Not 300 or 400, but 200. I mean, that's not getting it done, to say the very least. And even when they do hit, Steve, they're station to station, right? They're not getting key hits with runners in scoring position. They're not getting a lot of extra base hits. They're not getting a lot of home runs right now. And they're not scoring runs early. You know, remember last year mm-hmm. when they got off to a great start? I mean, they were putting teams in a hole right away, the first inning in particular, but the first and second innings. This year, for all the runs they've scored, I think, what, maybe one or so has come?
I think
before.
Mark Topkins said there's been one run in the first two innings all season, I think. Maybe it's two.
It was in his article. Yeah.
I'm trying to look it up real quick, but I remembered it stood out that only one of their 46 runs in the first or second innings this year.
One of the 46 runs in the first or second inning. I mean,
They've been behind in 9 of the 10 games this year.
Yeah, and he's just not.
Yeah, and this was the eighth game in which they allowed the other team to score first.
And consider this. One of these four wins that they have, they were down to their last out with nobody on, trailing by two runs, if you recall, mm-hmm. to Toronto. And the whole rally started, and, you know, that was the game that Kiermaier was actually the batting hero. But they were dead in the water in that game and even gave up, you know, a run in extra innings and came back with two themselves. But, I mean, this thing, you talk about turning in a hurry in a season that you just don't have much time or much margin of error. It was. I mean, you could feel and see sort of the disappointment that Cash had because mm-hmm. this is not the ball club. Now, here's the thing, right? Everybody's going to say, yeah, well, this is a weird season. You know, we'll get into the whole COVID things, a bunch of teams that, you know, can't follow any rules and are putting baseball in jeopardy. And it is true that every game, you know, sort of represents 2.7, one win or loss, if you consider they're only playing 38% of the year. But, I mean, I think the one thing that the Rays do feed off of, and that's sort of, tell me if you think this is a good excuse, because that's what it is, an excuse. You know, they're the celebrating team. They're the feel-good teams. They're the, you know, the hug it up team, you know, mm-hmm. the bash and the hand slapping and all of that. If you take that away, it doesn't look like they're having much fun. And of course, losing is not fun. But even failing the losing, like they were a very demonstrative, mm-hmm. you know, kind of front running enthusiast. Now that they can't do that, do you think that has anything to do with what appears to be at least a lack of energy, a lack of having fun?
It's possible. I mean, you know, look, if you're the Rays, one of the things that we've always said about the Rays is they, for several years now, is they've been a team. They've all bought right. into
yes.
what Kevin Cash is saying. They've bought into things like the opener and doing things very lineup differently
changes,
than
yeah, all lineup, that. Yeah.
I mean, as a group, they have bought in. Mm-hmm. It's always been it's kind of been them against the world. I mean,
that's
you know,
true.
I think some of that hug it out in the team excitement is because they bought in. But the other part is they haven't had the biggest fan base at home. They
right.
You know, I mean, the playoff games
they
were great.
Generate their own
here,
energy.
But,
yeah.
but they found a way to generate their own energy, which they got to find a way to do it now. It's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. if that's the reason that they're not performing well, it is an excuse.
Yeah.
Because you're a big leaguer, figure it out. But
right. Right.
But, I mean, look, you know, in this crazy season of how you're not starting till late July to,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had spring training, then you shut it down, now you're back again to, I mean, everything that's going on with this to yeah. testing every day to we can't go out to dinner together, we can't, you know, all this, all, you know, throw it all together. This was the
traveling
first time they were on
the
this
game.
Was, yeah, this was the first time this team was on the road. They yeah. went 0-5 on the road trip, which was not good, but it's also not a typical road trip. I mean, you're used to being able to, whether it's going out to dinner or doing sightseeing.
There's team bonding,
the day,
right? Yeah. There's team bonding that happens.
I mean, I have no idea if that's a part of the reason of this. And it, look, we know that chemistry on teams is so important. And maybe part of this is they haven't figured out how to make that chemistry work yet based on expectations from last year, based on changes in the way everything's being done this year. It's all possible. And you know, I think time will tell. I mean, you know, the hard part is it's only 10 games. And the good part is there's eight teams in each league going to make the playoffs.
True.
They're what, one game out of tied for the wild cards, essentially, at this point? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're only two games out of second place in your division.
Right.
You know, it's not... It's a bad first
it's
10
not
games.
Not insurmountable. No,
you know,
not
this
yet.
Is,
no.
This is at the point of the season. You're starting May now. You're through April. Mm. This is May.
Right.
No sense in writing them off yet, but the defense has to improve.
They're just not doing anything well. I mean, you mm-hmm. can't really point. I mean, the bullpen yeah. has had its moments when it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Until they went on the road trip, the starting pitching, I think their team ERA was among the best in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys you count on to play well, the guys that have to play well for them to win, Charlie Morton, 8 ERA, Blake Snell, who was cruising for a minute, and then it all got away from him in part when Kiermaier kind of batted a ball over center field. I'm telling you, I saw some things this past weekend now. It was just, holy moly, you could put together a low-light reel.
Baltimore is their house of horrors. For a few years it was Kansas City. They could never win in Kansas
City.
Yeah,
they never won in Kansas City.
They'd go in there and get swept in three or win one out of four at most. I mean, every time. Yeah. Never fail. And, of course, that'd be the one they'd play twice in the other division. And they'd go there twice. And it was, you know. But Baltimore the last few years, you know, unlike the Yankees who own Baltimore in Baltimore, the Rays struggle there. The Rays play better in New York and Boston than they do in Baltimore.
That's crazy,
no idea why. It just is the way it is. But so, you know, like I said, you're only in May at this point. And if you remember, the last few years, the Rays have gotten off to bad starts almost every year. Last year was the exception where they got red hot to start. I mean,
right.
2 years ago, remember, they got up to that 4-13 start and ended up winning 90 games.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So this is kind of a slow starting team as a rule. Last year was the exception where they lost the first game and then went on a tear. So, I hate to write them off, but they've got to play better if they're going to improve. I mean, it's not – this isn't just, we lost, tip of the cap to the other pitcher. They were better than us today. No, this is – you've cost yourself these games for the most part.
Right. Yeah, they're just not playing. There's no facet of the game. You could say, well, we got that figured out. You know, that part's going good. They're just not playing well.
But we know that Kevin Kiermaier can play better defense. We know that Willy Adames will play better defense. You know, we know that this stuff can happen. It's just a matter of they've got to make it happen.
And I also think that because it's an unusual and truncated year, that frankly guys are feeling pressure that they normally would never feel. In other words, they know they can't lose five in a row very often. And you know, I mean, if this were, instead of it being a 60-game season and we're sitting here in August, if this were a 162-game season and we're sitting here in May, they're not pressing even with a 5-game losing streak, but they're just not going up and squeezing the bats till it's sawdust every time up. I really do sense that. And you also have, and this is true too, whether you're talking about, Yoshi, Susuko, or you're talking about some of the newer guys, everybody wants to Martinez, they want to prove their worth. They're on a new team. There's some new players that I think are pressing probably to be a part of it, to help their new club. And that happens too. You know, you get guys that come over and they're tight, they're not relaxed. I mean, all of that's part of the equation, right? But somebody's going to have to get in that clubhouse. And that's the thing that I ask. I mean, I know Charlie Morton is a pitcher and everybody looks up to him and they should. And when he speaks, his words have a lot of weight. But do you wonder who is it that speaks up in that clubhouse now? I know Tommy Pham would have. Mm-hmm. That's the intensity he brings, and others. But like, who is the guy, right? Who is the everyday player that they can follow that it isn't new to the Rays that could really, kind of galvanize them with a message? I don't know who that person is.
Well, you got to think it's Kiermaier. I mean, he's the most veteran player out there.
Except that and I would agree with you. I would totally agree with you. He's more or less the face of their franchise right now. But he's not. He's probably playing as poorly as anyone, all the way around.
Well, the good thing is they've got an off day today. They've got a 2-game series against Boston. Then they get another off day on Thursday. That Yankees game Thursday has been moved to Saturday as a part of a doubleheader, which is so it's going to be 2 7-inning games on Saturday as part of that doubleheader. Right. And that's because the Yankees are making up games now against the Phillies this week.
That's a mess.
So they're going to play Philly on Thursday. So that's why the Rays-Yankees game from Thursday has been moved to Saturday. So now you've got a 4-game series against the Yankees over the weekend, including 2 7-inning games for part of the doubleheader. So
it's a mess. And, of course, everybody could go the route of the Cardinals and go to casinos, I guess. What the hell is going on with baseball? I mean, they have a chance to finish this if you have players that are – and Manfred warned the players' union about this. He says, I'm not a quitter. I'm not ready to call it a year yet, but we will if guys don't start doing the right things. What I'm surprised by, because in the NFL CBA, they did include language where certain acts, if you were to catch COVID as a result of ride-sharing or going to crowded restaurants or even a party with more than 10 people, they will hold you responsible and they will take away your money. I think the Major League Baseball.
There's a difference in baseball, though. There's a difference. They didn't come to a deal. This was the commissioner ordering the players to play the 60 games.
That's true.
They did not change the CBA even temporarily for a year like the other leagues have done.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
This was part of this not being an agreement that the commissioner just ordered the season to be 60 games starting this time because they couldn't come to an agreement. Now, they did agree to some protocols as far
as... Well, that's what I meant. You know, I mean, like...
Well, but the players were never going to agree to that, and that's because they wanted... They wanted more money. They wanted all the other stuff that they wanted they didn't get because they didn't come to a deal.
So they weren't going to concede that as part of a protocol.
That's my belief. I don't know that for a fact, but my belief is the players would have never agreed to that.
And yet it's still written in there, I think, that baseball recommends they not do these things. But there's a big difference between recommends and you can forfeit your salary, you know. And look, we'll see if baseball is guilty of the same thing. I'm not saying that – or football. I'm not saying that the NFL won't struggle with it too because, frankly, you have more players – right, that have an opportunity to maybe break ranks. And I've always said, you know, give me a 23-year-old with time and money and tell him he can't go anywhere, and guess what? He's probably going to go somewhere. Right. So, you know, I have very little confidence the NFL isn't going to go through some of these same situations, but, you know, but boy, it's a bad start for baseball right now.
This may help the NFL, though.
It could.
Because you're seeing two teams now that didn't follow recommendations. They went to a casino. They went to a party in Atlanta or a bar.
Yeah.
And now they've lost games in this. And, and maybe it's a wake-up call for some in the NFL and other sports of, you know, and what a lot of baseball teams apparently have been doing pretty well sticking to the guidelines. And
they have. You know, Cubs haven't had a case.
Yeah, we know that, like, the Rays, you know, early on, and Charlie Morton specifically had mentioned to the team of, you know, we've got to count on each other and rely on each other, and we're in this together. Right. You know, you're not affecting one person. You're affecting us all when you do this stuff.
That's right.
But you hope that, you know, with the baseball stuff, that maybe this message gets through to the baseball players, but a league like the NFL, who's not in a bubble as well, takes note and says, hey, look, guys, you know, I mean, this is what the NFL Players Association didn't want groups of players practicing together.
That's right.
Because they didn't want that possibility, you know, on their own and before they were testing and this, that, and the other. So, you know, that's the whole reason for this. And so hopefully the NFL teams take note and say, hey, look, we've got to take care of our own. You know, we can't have, you know, a quarter of our team missing a game because of, you know, somebody went to a bar or a group went to a bar or a casino or whatever. Yeah. And ended up getting COVID, and now, you know, we're going to lose games because of this.
A lesson you think maybe the Miami Marlins learned on that bus ride home from New York. That had to be a lot of fun.
That's back to your minor league days.
Oh, man.
Like single A ball there.
Yeah, you're not just going a couple hours either, man. I mean, this is a bus ride from New York. What's that got to be a good, what, 13, 14, 15 hours?
Oh,
or something like that?
At least. That's got to be more than that.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is, but I wouldn't want to fathom it. I mean, those guys are not used to traveling that way by trailways, I assure you. So, yeah, and you can imagine, you know, if said people were on the bus that were responsible for this, I wouldn't want to be sitting near them because it could not have been pleasant. But, yeah, baseball has a problem. We all have a problem, but baseball has a problem, and we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, in the meantime, you've had certain players – who are starting to opt out. Did you see this Jonas Cespedes story? Kind of weird. So I'm going to the Bucks because I'll get into this in a minute. We were COVID tested, and I got another test today so I can go in what's called a Tier 2 area and be able to watch practice and things like that. And thankfully, the first test was negative. So, but I'm driving to the Bucks to do something, and I'm listening to the radio, and all of a sudden they say – the Mets have put out a statement that they don't know where Jonas Cespedes is, but he's not at the ballpark, and they're on the road. So, like, how many places could he be?
And
right?
They checked his hotel room; he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
It was cleared out. And
yeah, he just was missing. And so you're thinking, oh my God, like, what if, you know, you hope nothing's wrong, like he's not in some kind of danger. Apparently, I guess they did know that he was okay. He opted out, but without the usual, you know, statement from teams you see when players opt out, like, oh, we understand, we wish him well, you know, this is his personal decision and, you know, welcome him back. No. They weren't nearly as magnanimous about that. It's clear because Cespedes had his contract talked down to about $6 million and then later than about $2 million, for various reasons, but this one had to be sort of a mutual, you know, we don't want you back, you'll be a free agent anyway, and good riddance. It just sent, it just kind of had a tone to it that was sort of dismissive at best, right?
Yeah, no, it's not one of those, you know, hey, we agree, we, you know, he did things right. This was, yeah, we're not happy with you at all.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it was an admonishment as much as it was, you know, an acknowledgement that this is his decision and we respect the safety of him and his family. It wasn't that way at all.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Speaking of opting out, however, Donovan Smith, did you see that? He showed up at Bucks training camp, which was a good sign for those that ever doubted that he would.
Yes, but he could still opt out at some point, can he not?
He can.
I
mean,
it's what I think they have 7 days
coming up
once it's everything's agreed to, which it hasn't been finalized. Is that, am I correct in that?
I think as we do this podcast that they're finalizing things in the next hours or days, but yeah, he'll have a week, and that might be even expedited a bit. There will be some players, and this was a weird thing. I don't want to get in the weeds with this, but there will be some players, if, and not a guy like Donovan who's due $14.5 million, but if you're a guy that thinks you might get cut and isn't sure that anybody would pick you up, even though there's expanded practice squads and things like this, and nobody thinks this way, right? They all think they're going to make the team. That's why they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you opt out, in certain situations, veteran players can get paid like $350,000, you know, for opting out if they did it under a certain time. But we'll see if that if that's the case. It won't be the case with Donovan, obviously, unless he gets in there and feels unsafe. But so far, you know, the Bucks have had a number of running backs, of course, that have gone on the protocol.
You see Matt Stafford is on the COVID list.
Yeah, that was... That one's scary because his wife, what Stafford went through last year with his wife alone.
She's gone through some cancer treatments. Yeah, she's gone through some. She's probably immunocompromised or.
I would think you worry it, but you'd really be concerned about her getting it, and if Matthew has it, that would be the big scare, right?
And of course, being on the COVID list doesn't necessarily mean he's been tested positive.
No.
It could just mean in contact with, or
he could have been. Yeah,
you know, he maybe has one test, he needs a second test to confirm. You know, so there, it's not necessarily that he has COVID, but he's on that list now.
Exactly right. So that part's scary. But yeah, so the Bucks are in camp, and you know, we'll have a chance to talk, I think, later today with Shaq Barrett, who of course was franchised and was hoping for a bigger contract. I think on Tuesday we'll have maybe an opportunity to go out and listen. When I tell you this, it's a big deal, because we're going to see those of us in tier 2M. I tell you, it's confusing. We're going to actually get to see Tom Brady in person from a distance with a mask, us wearing a mask.
How far away will you be when you take those pictures?
Well, I won't be taking them personally. I didn't take them the last time. But I will say that the creepy guy, Chris Urso, will be close enough to actually not have to use the telescopic lens. Let's put it that way. He'll the one that shows the flag on the moon. We won't need that. But
does Kevin O'Donnell have any sources that they're going
to
be there?
I don't know that helicopters are allowed to fly over practice at this time. I mean, there is of course, the hospital across the way, and so sometimes you have a bay flight now and then. But it is awfully close to the airport. So, yeah, if traffic is backed up on MLK, then I'm sure there'll be videotape of the practice. But I will say this. It's awfully early. And, like, Tom Brady believes in one thing, and that's, like, I'm going to practice when it's 7:30. He has a habit of being out there between 7 and 8 o'clock.
Well, you saw LeSean McCoy's tweet or Instagram or whatever his social media message. The Tampa heat is hot.
It's different. Yeah, it's hot. Yeah, it is, man. And Brady on his Instagram, like he must have gotten into his car and he posted the, you know, he had the temperature gauge and it was like 99 inside his car when he got inside of it. So,
yeah, but you see the other part of that. Maybe you didn't realize that picture he showed off was taken with an iPhone 6.
Really?
Yeah, iPhone 12s are coming out this year.
He has an iPhone 6?
That's what it was taken with.
Maybe that's just his throwdown phone.
But I thought, well, I thought they destroyed all his phones. I mean, that's what he testified.
Well, he destroys them every year, I think.
Yeah, well, that phone's 6 years old.
Let's not replay that. Okay, that's really none of our business. That was back in New England. I don't know what took place then. And I didn't notice it was an iPhone 6, to be honest with you. I did notice it was 99 degrees.
Yes.
But the good news is, I guess we'll have a chance to watch him throw, watch the guys run around, and then another week from now, they'll be in essentially kind of an OTA mode where they're wearing helmets and shorts and the underwear Olympics and going out there and practicing. Bruce Arians has been gracious to even consider us coming out then, because technically I don't think the league requires, if you will, the media to actually watch training camp until they're in the pads, which is some time from now. They got about 14, 16 days of sort of weight training and some on-field work, but not required by them to let us in there at all. And I don't know what we can do because, again, we have to leave immediately, and all our interviews, it looks like this year, will be by Zoom and not in person, so that'll be different. But, yeah, we're going to get a chance to actually be welcome to watch Tom Brady throw without encountering a guard from Berkeley Prep, so that'll be interesting. So a lot of stuff on tap for the Bucs. I wrote a column, if you want to check it out, in the Tampa Bay Times on Sunday, sort of talking about the storylines of this season, and many of these will sort of come to be addressed during training camp. Shock nobody. Tom Brady, still hard to get used to that he's here, but every answer to every question is Tom Brady.
Speaking of that, happy birthday, Tom.
Yes.
Turns 43 today.
43.
Yeah.
Today, that's right. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Wonder how they'll celebrate. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he's a 43-year-old quarterback. I mean, this is uncharted water for anyone in the NFL, much less a guy that has won as many Super Bowls as he has playing in Tampa. But I can remember when one of the oldest quarterbacks I remember in Tampa was, like, Steve DeBerg. And I want to say in 92 under Sam Weich, I think he may have started, and he was, like, 39, and we thought he was fossil. I mean, we thought 39-year-old quarterback, really? Geez, you're going to be almost 40. And now that's like, you know, that was what, 3 Super Bowls ago?
Well, yeah, I mean, you got Drew Brees, who's what, 41 now?
41, yeah. And guys are playing longer and longer.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is getting up there in age.
He's played Philip 15
Rivers,
years.
Philip Rivers as well.
Philip Rivers is up there, yeah. Aaron Rodgers has played, I can't believe he's played 15 years. So, yeah, there's that. But I think among the storylines, I'll just kind of run through them quickly here, and you can check it out on TampaBay.com. I think one of the big ones does involve Brady, obviously, and it's just how they can make this offense adapt to him, right? Because Bruce Arians, more of a down-the-field sort of fashion, no risk it, no biscuit type of thing. But, you know, obviously the one thing that's clear to me is that by now Brady will have learned all the terminology. I mean, he's just that guy, right? He can process things, and even though he played in the system for 20 years, he knows what one personnel group and play was called in New England and what it's called in Tampa Bay by now. Everybody else won't have to learn a new offense, but he does have to learn his players and his teammates, and that's what the offseason was about and all those workouts he held at Berkeley Prep. We talked to Arians a little bit. He says, look, you know, he's pretty quick on his feet, and there's not much drop off in his physical ability, but he did acknowledge that, you know, he likes to drop the ball down underneath, and, you know, he's got, I mean, we know he's got a chemistry with Rob Gronkowski, but I think he still has to build some up with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and those guys. So that's not going to be easy to do because you're building chemistry sort of on the fly. And without OTAs, without the preseason games, not that he would play a lot of preseason games. But all of these are stepping stones to what would be a normal season, and this is not normal. So what he's attempting to do, it'll be interesting to see how they collaborate the offense and what Byron Leftwich does to let Brady sort of feel comfortable being Brady. We talked about who's going to opt out. Doesn't look like anybody is. Donovan Smith, as I mentioned, reported. We talked to Cam Brady, said, you know, it is a personal choice, and you have to respect what everybody decides to do. And maybe once they get in it, they'll feel unsafe. Who knows? But so far, so good. LeSean McCoy, how about Shady McCoy coming aboard? He's 32 years old. He was with the Kansas City Chiefs, won a Super Bowl with them a year ago, but didn't play in the playoffs. I think he had one snap against Tennessee, but he's a bit removed from his Eagles and Bills days when he was gaining 1,000 yards. But what he is depth. He's insurance. He's, you know, if something happens to Ronald Jones, you've got rookie Keyshawn Vaughn's out in the COVID list. Darian Gumawale, you know, is sort of a third down guy. Hadn't carried a lot of balls. But McCoy is caught 40 passes or more 7 times in his career. And, you know, that picking a guy up like this is exactly what Super Bowl teams did and do, and that's what Kansas City did. They did it last year, and he was pretty effective. I don't think he carried the ball more than 12 times in a game. But when he did, he had a good average, and they could lean on him if they had had an injury. And I think it was a smart pickup. But from what I understand, it didn't cost them much money. It's a one-year deal. So, you know, with the guys going on the COVID list, you're not very deep at that position. So it was good they did that. What are they going to get from the rookie class? I think that's a question, too. Outside of Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield Jr., I think those two guys will be starters, already listed on the depth chart as starters. But you have a lot of other rookies that have missed a lot of time, like Tyler Johnson. That might be a tough learning curve for him. So you just don't know, you know, everything you're going to get out of these guys again, who Arian says has missed 400 reps. The tight end room is interesting with Gronkowski in there. I think he's going to get the bulk of the work. I think you'll see a lot of two tight end formations. A year ago, I think Cam Brate played in about 38% of the snaps. That's probably going to go down. You got O.J. Howard to pick from. So it's a good group, and they're going to learn a lot from Gronkowski, who's going to lead them. But that's kind of an interesting way of how they're going to split things up, I think, on offense. I think the secondary is going to be more improved. We talked about those guys that grew up last year, Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting. How about this one, the kicking game? Are we sure they've solved this? Because I'm not. You know, they've got Elliott Fry in here just in case. He's sort of the insurance. But Matt Gay, a year ago, started out, he was 24-27, and things looked really good for 13 games. But then in 5 of his final 8 games, he missed at least one kick or had one blocked. And so, you know, extra points were even. He only had an 89% on extra points. So that was 34th in the league. Matt Gay needs to establish himself as a more consistent guy. We'll see if he can do that. Shaq Barrett we'll talk to today on the conference call or Zoom call. And, of course, he has to prove that last year was not a fluke. I don't think it was. 19.5 sacks, you can't really call that a fluke. But he needs to get, you know, double digits if he can again and hopefully make his way towards either another franchise tag or a long-term agreement. The most improved player, and I think this is something to look for, is I think it's going to be Devin White. We'll just call him Devin Smith. Devin White. Simply because he got up to a slow start with all the injuries and, you know, ended up being rookie of the month for November and December. And if he picks up where he left off, that's going to be something. And here, and then the final storyline, which will begin week 1, September 13th. Steve, I think this Saints rivalry with the Bucs is one of the sexiest in the league this year. And obviously Brady brings everything to that with him and Breeze. But there's a lot of elements to it, including Jameis Winston, who's probably not likely to play. The biggest thing is this, though, and this is the disadvantage that Brady will have over Breeze, and that is that Sean Payton and Breeze, much like him and Belichick, have been together forever. 215 games those guys have been coach and quarterback. When the Bucs open in New Orleans on September 13th, it will be the first game between Brady and Bruce Arians. That's a big gap to have to make up.
It is, and I still would say that, you know, New Orleans overall probably has the better roster.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly on the defensive end. I mean, I think the Bucs defense is improving and getting better, and they've got some good pieces. But
yes,
I think the New Orleans has the better roster overall, and that's why they're the favorites in the NFC South still.
Totally agree.
I think the Bucs will have a good season. I think Brady's going to, you know, help this team tremendously in ways people don't even realize. From you know, the way just practices are run and meetings, and granted, it's a little weirder that some of them will be on Zoom and such, but. You know, I think, you know, how he's going to hold players accountable, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it's going to be a big improvement, and the Bucs can do a lot of things, and including beat the Saints. But I think the Saints have a better roster overall and a quarterback coach combination that's been together forever.
Yeah, there's nobody like the you know, the Breezes and the Bradys and the Mannings and stuff. But the Bucs have one. I had a coach tell me over the weekend, he goes, man, I hope we play. He said, because we got a special quarterback. This guy, when you get him on the field, he goes, yeah, it's a little, he said, it's really special. And you can see that if you watch the video the Bucks posted over the weekend. They posted a video of one of their first workouts as a group. Brady's throwing a young receivers because he was in there with the rookies. And, of course, here's this, you know, soon-to-be 43-year-old guy. And just a little reminder, the things that he says in between throws, right, and the encouragement he gives and, like, hey, now, you know, you're not moving on this one. You know, you're going to catch it in a spot. And, hey, I better get 4 yards on this player. I'm not throwing it. And, you know, and he makes some throws and he, you know, hoo-ha's some guys. But it's really interesting to watch him work and to watch him relate to players and tell them, you know, how precise things need to be. And so, yeah, he's going to bring so much to their offense and just to their team and just that level of, you know, of intensity and also of, you know, being on top of things.
Well,
being
it's,
accurate,
it's that know? Respect. That
yeah yeah
you know as soon as they step on the field with him when he gives those little nuggets or those things or tells them hey I want you to run this route this way or do this there's no questioning it
I mean
he's the GOAT and everybody on that team knows it and they want to play with him they want to learn from him they want to do well for him I mean that's this is your dream
you
want to
play
these are the types of quarterbacks you want to play with the
Absolutely.
You know the Phillip Rivers the Drew Brees the Aaron Rodgers the Tom Brady's those Peyton Mannings those are guys you dream to play with those guys
give them a season they might put a ring on your finger I mean that's what you're talking about you know when you've been in as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady is that you're going to do everything and he says because he knows what he's talking about and it was funny we talked to Tristan Wirfs I think late last week, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but we were asking everybody sort of like, hey, what was your, you know, what was your Brady moment? And he was talking about how, you know, his family was probably more excited about him meeting Brady than any. They kept asking, have you met Tom? Have you met Tom? So finally he reported to training camp with the quarterbacks and he goes, and one day, sure enough, we came around the corner and boom, there he was. Right. And he goes, and he looked at me and said, how's it going, big dog? Probably didn't know his name, but whatever. And he was like, ah, yeah, really good, you know. And he goes, and then I think I saw him one other time. He goes, how old are you? He says, I'm 21. Well, Tom, this is his 21st season in the NFL. And he said, and Brady just kind of laughed and said, man, I got twice as much experience as you. Yeah, in life. I mean, like you're twice as old as the guy. I mean, he's played football as long as he's been on the planet Earth. You know, I mean, really think about that. The guy protecting him at right tackle was born in the year that Brady was drafted. I mean, it's crazy to think that way, but it's true. You know. And then Tristan said, "Yeah, I know it's you know probably a pretty big deal what I'm doing blocking for Tom Brady." Yeah, yeah, it is. So there's
especially
a lot of
if you end
moments.
Up being the left tackle if Donovan Smith
does
opt out.
Oh boy, I know. Yeah, that would be a whole new. Challenge for him but yeah so it's funny you can check all those stories out in TampaBay.com so we got the Lightning with their first game today at 4 o'clock against the Washington Capitals so that's seems like they played a long time ago last Wednesday
last Wednesday yeah so did you catch any of the hockey over the weekend there's been what 10 games I believe
there's been 10 I caught what did I see I saw Chicago beat the hell out of Edmonton I think
yeah I saw the first goal Edmonton scored like a minute into the game
Yeah.
2 minutes in. It was early.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it was 1-0, and then we were outside for a little bit, came inside, and all of a sudden it's 4-1 Chicago. I was like, what
I know. Yeah. No, it happened fast. Yeah. Oh, what else did I see? Yeah. I watched
Columbus beat Toronto.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Boston lost their first round-robin game to Philly.
Although they didn't have – you pointed out they didn't have Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, he was right? He broke his finger at the beginning of training camp. He did play in the exhibition game, but they held him out today. Or on Sunday for the round robin game. So Philly now leads the round robin officially with the four teams. Of course, Washington and Tampa haven't played yet, but the four round robin teams, Washington, Philly, Tampa, and Boston, the way they after their three games based on points, that determines the seeding for the playoffs. So right now, Philly would have the number one seed. Tampa would technically have the number two now. Washington would be number three, Boston number four. But, of course, you know, two teams have played a game and two haven't. So, but after the three games for each of those teams, that'll determine the seedings. And then based on who goes on. So, like, Pittsburgh lost their first game to Montreal. So, Pittsburgh's the 5 seed.
Right.
But those are best of 5 series for the qualifying round. So,
man, that was a little bit of an upset in that one. But, yeah, it's been fun. I mean, we all love hockey, and I think fans or no fans, it plays great on television. I have no trouble watching any of these games, really, even baseball. Baseball's a little weird without seeing empty stadiums, especially like if you're watching a Cubs game at Wrigley or something.
Well, you wondered if the intensity would be there for the NHL, and the first game on Saturday was the Hurricanes and Rangers, and within the first 5 minutes there was a fight with a bloody nose, and it was like, okay, yeah, this is the playoffs. They're ready. I mean, it's they're bringing that intensity regardless. This is Stanley Cup on the line.
Yeah, Stanley Cup and legacy and all that, and also they're hockey players. There's something about hockey players, man.
Yep.
I mean, those guys are so competitive that, you know, put them on a pond somewhere in a parking lot, you know, in Wisconsin, and they'll go after it.
I caught some of the NBA over the weekend too. It didn't seem too out of place. Or I mean, it's that one may be the weirdest without fans because they're sitting courtside, and
yes,
you know, from the visual part of it more than the audio part of it, but the visual, it was a little weird, but it didn't seem too weird at all. I mean, it kind of felt a little more like a college game, maybe an NCAA tournament where the fans aren't on the court like that.
Right.
Like, you know, they're back a little bit, and then the benches seemed a little further from the court, give them a little more space there. And but it was fine, too. I mean, I watched some of the Lakers game. I watched parts of a couple other games. But
it's so weird for me because, you know, they're playing at Disney's Wide World of Sports in what we used to call the Milk House, but now it's got another sponsor. And that's where they hold all the AAU tournaments. And you would see during training camp, like, you know, Mike Krzyzewski walking by or, you know, Calipari or somebody, and they're in there scouting AAU players, high school guys. But to think that very same Milk House is now hosting the entire NBA and LeBron James and all, it's surreal for me because I've been in there. We played basketball in there. Mm-hmm. It's just very odd that's where it's going on down. But sure enough, those guys have all done a pretty good job of, again, being in the bubble, and it's not an easy ask.
We were just in there in February or January for the Pro Bowl. I mean, that's where the media workstation is.
Yeah, we were there. Me and you, I picked up my credentials where you were stationed there.
Yeah, that's where the media workshop is there, or work area, and a lot of the offices and stuff for the NFL during the Pro Bowl. You know, Pro Bowl's not going to be back there this year. It's going to be in Vegas. But
right, if they have it at all, which I doubt. But it's interesting. So, man, everything is going on, and hopefully, again, you know, I think the sports that are in the bubble probably have a better opportunity, whether it's the NHL or the NBA. Obviously, baseball has its issues. I still don't know what to think of football. You know, once they start hitting each other, and again, you're asking, you know, not just a few players, but everybody to go home and do the right things and not go out and that sort of stuff. And there are some penalties if they do, but the biggest penalty is you could wipe out a team. Or, you know, in the case of the Bucks, if they had to play, you know, I mean, they still have Ronald Jones right now, and they just signed Shady McCoy, but they got like three running backs out, you know. So what if something, you know, a position, somebody at the, we talked about the quarterback and keeping a guy out of the room all week just to have the lone survivor in case, you know, your quarterback room becomes infected. But you could have, you know, are they going to play without their 5 starting offensive linemen or defensive linemen? You know, what are you going to do in that case? So it's not going to be an easy thing, and it's not much fun. I can tell you, just having been over there for my first test, you know, they basically have a medical trailer with this company that they're contracting with for COVID tests. And, you know, you come into the facility if you're a player. You park your car and you wait for them to call you in, and you can't go in the building until you've had your, you know, you get your COVID test every day. And, you know, when you go to lunchroom, these tables that were used to sitting, they're giant tables in the lunchroom that would sit, you know, 8 to 10 players, now have only 2 seats to them, you know, or 3 seats for the separation. And, they're using, you know, every available inch of space in that, you know, huge building over there for meeting rooms. Our media room is now, I think, an offensive line meeting room or somebody's meeting room. And, you know, what used to be the sort of the press conference room is another position group's meeting room. So they're trying to utilize all the space they have. But, you know, I think part of the locker rooms might be in the indoor facility. I think some guys will be getting dressed there. which is different, right? Mm-hmm. You're not even in the main building. So, yeah, a lot of changes, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and I don't know how they're going to get through it all, but we're going to find out. And, you know, they still got several weeks to hopefully learn from what all these other sports are doing and try to improve on some of the protocols with that. But, yeah, it's different. So
I'm watching the Wild and Canucks game. A minute 19 in, there's a fight.
Oof.
Ferland and Ferrigno, or Foligno.
Nice.
Yeah, they just were off a face-off, started talking, and let's go. So Stanley Cup playoffs are here.
Yeah. Haven't had a chance to do this. Let's go. Why waste any time? Start fighting.
I don't know if that was a grudge from 4.5-5 months ago when they were playing or what, but
which is interesting because the last thing obviously these guys are in a bubble. Maybe the concern isn't necessarily the way it is with baseball, but the last thing they want you to do is get in a fight in baseball, right?
Yes,
or to get in anybody's face and yell and scream and do anything like that. But they have no trouble dropping the gloves in hockey.
I think there is a confidence of the bubble. I mean, at this point, and they're testing every day, and but that bubble allows that it's that safety precaution of, hey, we're confident
good.
Everyone is COVID free at this point, as long as everyone's doing the right thing,
right?
And they've got enough amenities and stuff in there. I know Anthony Cirelli put out a video; he was thrilled. There was a Tim Hortons truck inside the bubble in Toronto, so he was thrilled. So,
what else can he ask for?
Exactly.
All right, so busy week ahead, busy day today, as a matter of fact. We told you the Lightning are going to begin their round robin with the Washington Capitals. That game, love it. Afternoon hockey, 4 p.m. Make sure you check that out. We'll talk to Shaq Barrett on our Zoom call with the Bucks this afternoon as well, and we'll have that for you. The Rays, meanwhile, will try to have a day off and regroup before their series starts with the Boston Red Sox at the Trop on Tuesday. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We're here every Monday through Friday. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.